It is Tuesday, May 31st, and we are at the Kentucky Historical Society. Mandy Higgins conducting a Mask Makers quilt interview with Skylar Davis. If you can just quickly say and spell your name so we can get it right.
It's Skylar, S-K-Y-L-A-R, and then Davis, D-A-V-I-S.
Awesome. Well, thank you for coming up to Frankfort today and for chatting with us. We'd like to start with just a little sort of background question. Can you tell us a little bit about when you began to sew or craft?
Yeah, so my great-great-grandmother, we called her Nanny, when she was alive, she quilted until the day she died, and I was fortunate enough to know her very well, and she taught me how to sew with her scraps when I was a kid. So I would pick that up and then through home ec, but then I like got it back when I was an adult and the pandemic hit and I wanted to help people, so I started sewing again.
Awesome. And did you, what did you sort of make before you picked, you said that you didn't, back up, I'm having a hard time with my words all of a sudden. What kinds of things did you make before 2020?
Okay, so I'm a photographer primarily, and I went to EKU for art school. So really I wouldn't do many sewing projects per se, but it was more just fine art and things like that.
Yeah, would you... Where did you pick up photography?
So my granny actually was a photographer, and so I'm from Garrett County, and there's not a lot going on. So every summer I would do the 4-H competitions at the fair, and I was like, wow, I'm decent. I'm getting some blue ribbons here. So I decided in high school that I was going to pursue photography, and so I went to EKU for that.
Do you do a specific kind of photography?
Yeah, I focus on portraiture, so I do a lot of like weddings and things to kind of like make up financially, but I've mainly focused on fine artwork that centers around uplifting women and the LGBTQ community of Kentucky.
Incredible. Before 2020 or before the pandemic, were you involved in arts groups or craft groups?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I lived in Lexington for a while and was pretty involved in the art scene there. And I actually helped found a Women's Art Collective of Kentucky, which ran for about 2 years. And then I decided to move to New Orleans. So I kind of put that on the shelf for a while. But we had exhibits that featured women artists, and that included anyone who identified as women or gender nonconforming. That way, like, we could help represent their work more because it is underrepresented.
Yeah. When did you come back from New Orleans?
I think 4 years ago.
Okay. So you were in Kentucky at the start of the pandemic.
Yes.
Okay. And did you come back to Lexington or Garrett County?
I went to Louisville.
Okay. Yeah. And is that where you reside now?
Mm-hmm. Okay. But my square represents Garrett County because I wanted to represent home.
How involved were you? So you founded the Women's Collective. Are you currently involved in craft groups or fine art groups?
Not as much here recently. I like run social media and do a bunch of other things, so I don't have as much time to focus on that.
How did you, switching gears a little bit, how did you learn about COVID?
So ironically enough, me and my boyfriend planned a trip to Seattle right at the beginning, because I'll be honest, I feel like throughout my lifetime, there's been a lot of like scares of different viruses and things going around. So like, we didn't really think it was like serious. So when we saw the stories, we were just like, well, travel's still open, it'll be fine. And so we went to Seattle probably like, we got back maybe a week before lockdown. And my friends kind of informed us how serious it was there, where like you couldn't find toilet paper or like wipes that could sanitize and things. So I feel like about 2 weeks before lockdown was when I was like, okay, this is actually something that's like serious, serious. So...
When you came back, did you come back and prep? How did that influence your...
Yeah, I definitely got... I didn't, like, hoard resources, but we definitely got enough toilet paper to last us at least, like, a month. So it was probably, like, 2 big packs at Costco. Mm-hmm. And then some, probably, like, 6 sanitation, like, Clorox wipes things. But we didn't really, like, prep food or anything like that. It was more just we thought that would be the, like, hard things to find.
I remember.
Yeah.
So take me back to that March, like, lockdown 2020 feel. How were you feeling? What was going through your mind?
I was extremely overwhelmed because I've been privileged in the last, like, 4 years. Traveling has been a huge part of my life, and my boyfriend travels for work, so I get to go with him, and realizing that the things that we love the most, like concerts and traveling, is ending was really, it was hard. I think I'm, like, such an empath, so I think that, like, watching other people go through it and have to have COVID or have loved ones that had COVID, that was more hurtful to me than, like, me focusing on myself through it. I just kind of try to, like, help others through the whole thing and, like, lessen my impact, I guess, like, on myself.
So you couldn't travel, you couldn't music, that was for me too.
Yeah.
What about learning about the virus? How was that?
I was probably, like, a little extra and really tried to do a ton of research, which no one knew anything. So I think I just scared myself and I took it extremely seriously. We didn't go anywhere. We didn't see any friends or anything like that, really. So, yeah, just, like, trying to understand something that no one understands was really hard. And I was probably not great on my mental health. I'm doing as much citizen research as, like, I did.
Did you go to some of the what we now think maybe was a little extreme with your research, with the how you brought that into your day-to-day?
Yeah, so me and my roommate, because my best friend lived with us at the time, only him and me would go to the grocery. And we would sanitize all of our grocery. We would Lysol wipe our mail. We did a lot of extra steps that, I mean, it was kind of suggested online, but was probably, like, now looking back, a little much.
But you were keeping yourself safe.
Yeah.
So when did you start thinking about masks?
So honestly, when the realization that people have to go to work and still be in office and not have access to masks at all was something that made me realize I needed to start making them. And also, so many people, me included, I didn't go and see my family because we didn't have masks, so I felt like I was putting them in danger by going to see them. So I found what fabric I could at Joann's, which was, like, really awful printed stuff, but I tried to, like make it, you know, kind of like the people's personalities. So I'm trying to even think when that was. It was pretty early on, like, when people started, like, it kind of opened up a little bit, and so I was like, okay, I need to actually help people.
Yeah. How did you figure out how to make a mask?
I just found a template online, and I had to, like, refresh myself on using a sewing machine, because I know how to hand sew, but using a machine I hadn't done since, like, high school. So that was probably, like, 16 years ago.
Did you, how did you, like, source what the other pieces of the mask? So you got your fabric from Joann. What about the other pieces?
I think Amazon, I was able to find the elastic, but it wasn't, like, the best elastic, but it was what I could get until things became more available. And then I used jewelry wire that was still somehow on the shelf for the nose pieces. And I think that was, yeah, I just did two pieces of cloth. I didn't have a filter or anything.
Did you make any changes to the patterns you found, or how did you sort of improve your masks as you went along?
Yeah, the pattern pretty much stayed the same. I did a basic, I don't know, it's kind of like a C shape, and so it's, like, kind of higher up on your nose and then curves down. I didn't do the flat, like, rectangular ones. So I feel like those fit everyone pretty well, and then I always made two sizes, so, like, if someone needed a bigger one, or, like, the quote-unquote women's size was a little smaller, so it could help, like, teens to smaller people. But yeah, I did improve, like, the nose piece. Like, the metal wire was, you know, it would, like, poke through the fabric. It was not comfortable for people, but I tried my best.
Did you only make for people you knew, or how did you distribute?
So I started out with, like, the core group of my family and friends, And then I live in Louisville, and when the marches started, I started making just as many masks as I could with my scrap fabric and just passed them out to protesters if they needed them, because I wanted everyone to stay safe, but also, like, stand up for what was happening. So that I probably made at least 200 for those events, and then I started selling them just so I could cover my time, because I was sitting at a machine all day every day for months. So I designed an Andy fabric, and the cost of that was pretty high, so I sold those masks to kind of compensate for the cost of everything.
Can you talk a little bit about the protests? You're the first of our interviews to bring that up. So these are the protests in the wake of the murder of Breonna Taylor?
Yes.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about those events and masks. And
yeah, so at first I was really scared because of COVID, and so I wasn't a participant. But after the first, like, 3 weeks, I just couldn't sit at home anymore, and I had to stand up for what I believe is right and for Breonna. And so we started out going to the Injustice Square, is what we renamed it, and it became a it became like a hub of, like, this really beautiful space, and like, and I know, like, the law probably didn't like it, but people camped there, and, like, if you needed anything, you needed food, you needed water, you needed, like, whatever, like, somebody was there to give it to you. And it was, like, one of the most beautiful experiences of my life, but also through the months, probably one of the most traumatic. it was a lot, and I learned a lot, but I would do it all over again.
Yeah, and so you brought thank you for sharing that.
Sorry.
No, do not apologize. It's appropriate. You brought masks to those events as well.
Yes, because they're, you know, it was hard to get them. And though, like, the disposable ones were becoming easier to get, it was still hard. And I didn't want people to get sick and then not be able to come back. Or I didn't want people to get sick at all. So that was my, like, way of trying to help as much as I could.
Did you have specialty designed masks for those, or was it mostly leftover fabric? How did you?
I had a bunch of white fabric. So the first set I did, it was before I started actually marching and being present downtown. I had white fabric, and I would just, like, paint, like, BLM or Black Lives Matter, Justice for Breonna. So, like, it was maybe an incentive to also wear it as, like, a design for it.
How did you learn about the quilt?
I was on Facebook, and I don't know if it might have been my cousin Shauna tagged me in it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I have to be a part of this, because I have, at this point, there was a website that artists designed fabric, and then you could order it. And it would take a while, but, like, at least I could get stuff that matched people's personalities. So I got a bunch of cool different fabric, and honestly, like, Brashear meant so much that he, like, cared about, I feel like he honestly cared about everyone, and watching him every day just brought so much hope and, like, peace in a time that was so stressful. And I wanted to give back to him and show him, like, how much he meant to all of us. And also say, like, I was a part of this. I gave up a huge part of my life to make these masks and, like, be a part of a larger project.
Yeah. So did you have a role beyond making your square, or how did you interact in the group?
Well, we always would, we'd all talk to each other, and we would help source stuff for each other. And then I brought on at least two other people to be a part of it. But beyond that, the leaders of the group did such a great job, like, organizing it, telling us exactly how to make it, where to ship it. And so, like, they did a lot of the work, which was hard, I'm sure.
Tell me about your process.
So they send us, like, the dimensions. And so I just take paper and make little I forget what they're called now. Sorry, my mind. But I make like a template, and then I would just cut that out and then sew the squares together. It was a super easy pattern, so it was simple. And I had a lot of extra fabric because the C-shaped design left a lot of space. So I was able to pull from literal scraps that I used, not even just like extra fabric.
Yeah. Can you describe your square for us?
Yes. So I designed this like art piece about Andy Beshear, and I made fabric from it, like I said earlier. So my piece includes that. I have some Nasty Woman fabric. I wanted to add some edge to the quilt. and some, I think the other, I did some solid colors so it wouldn't be too much. And I can't honestly remember the rest of it. It's been so long since I've seen it.
How did it feel as you were putting it together?
It felt empowering, and I was just glad to be part of like this larger project that would hopefully bring joy, bring as hopefully as much joy to Andy and the state as it like he brought to me. So,
yeah, can you tell me a little bit more about that, the joy that watching Beshear brought for you?
Yeah, sorry, I probably should call him by his formal name, Governor Beshear. We're on first name basis. No, I'm kidding. Governor Beshear really, I think, helped calm a lot, like calm my nerves, and took a hard stance. Like, first, I guess I want to say, like, I can't even imagine what it was like to be in that position and to have so many people go from let's support everyone to being, in my opinion, extremely selfish. And for him to have to take the brunt of that and everything that got thrown his way is insane. And I hate that he had to go through that, but I'm just so thankful that he stood up for what he believed was right and what Kentucky needed to help keep people alive, because, like, we're not a healthy state by any means, and it could have wiped so many communities, like, out. Not out, but it could have killed a lot more people than it did if he didn't do what the measures that he took. So I'm really thankful for that. And just seeing, like, just the little jokes, or, you know, along that, like, kept trend, like, you know, a trend, and we would keep going, or, like, even just seeing people's pictures that they would pick to put up every day was really nice. And it would inspire, I think it inspired people to, like, want to go out in their community and maybe do some chalk art, or, you know, to help, how can you help people feel a little better today? I think that kind of helped too.
And what did you, so you watched his, pressers and those sorts of things. Were you also sewing? Were you working during that time?
Yeah. So it started out, it was like this thing that me and my best friend did because we were going stir crazy. and we just sort of those people, like, we want to know what's going on. So it started out, maybe we'd have like a cocktail and like relax and watch Andy for the day. But as time got busier, I was sewing and watching it as, and like trying to get as many masks done as I could. And so it was something to help kind of like feel the time of that.
Yeah. Did you write a note when you sent your square in?
I don't think that I did, but I sent him a mask of the fabric that I made, and Brittany, Mrs. Beshear, wore it on like several occasions, and they posted on social media. So that was fun.
Yeah. When you sent that mask, did you include mm-hmm. a note? If you're willing, can you give us like a 5,000 feet view of what that note included?
Yeah. Oh, I think I just thanked him for everything that he was doing. And honestly, I knew that he wouldn't wear the mask, but I hoped that it would just make him laugh because it was so funny and ridiculous. But yeah, I think I just spent the note like thanking him and like telling him the impact that he had on people.
Did you send masks to any other state officials or folks who were on the...
Mm-mm. No, there's not many that I love these days. No, I'm kidding.
I get it. So what was it like to be involved in this project in the community?
I think it was really inspiring, and I don't think that I realized how much of like a cultural impact it would be. Like, I'm from Appalachia, and what drew me to this project was doing something that women throughout history in Appalachia and Kentucky have done, which is, like, quilt out of necessity. Like, you made a quilt to keep someone warm, and, like, you use potato sacks, scrap dresses, like, whatever you had. And so, like, bringing the history of that back into, like, today, even though it was just a gift, like, using the scraps from something that we all spent so much of our time doing and trying to help people. Like, it was really, I think, way more meaningful than I thought it would be.
What was it like to see it when it was on the press conference?
Yeah, it was. I didn't know that they were going to display it and, like, talk about it. So it was really awesome. And I was excited to hear them talking about it and, like, zoom in and see my square and, like, stuff.
Did other folks know you were involved?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, we couldn't really talk about it too much because they wanted to kind of keep it, like, not a secret, but just kind of, like, under wraps about what was going on. And I think only so many people could go drop the quilt off because it was still not very, like, safe with COVID and stuff. So they were just – I don't know if they even knew it was going to be on the – I don't think they knew it was going to be on the presser. So once it was, like, released, then we could, like, share it out and stuff.
And how did your friends who weren't involved in the quilt react to?
I think they were really excited and thought it was cool that I like, went above and beyond to do something different and, like, be a part of a cool project.
How has the community continued to support each other, to work together?
That's hard. I feel like that... Or, like, the quilting community?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. No. It's kind of quieted down. Like, we're not as talkative as we were at the beginning, but they'll definitely keep us updated. Like, even with this project, they were like, hey, if you – my friend Shayna actually was the one who told some of us and was like, if you want to be a part of it, like, let me know. And so I think when it, like, comes down to, like, bigger projects or, like, raising awareness, then we still kind of talk, but it's not as chatty since we can, like – get the things that we need and we're not having to make masks anymore. So
yeah, can you tell me a little bit about when you quit making masks?
Yeah, so I think honestly I got so involved with the protests in Louisville that I just didn't really have time to. And I mean, like, I made over 1,000 masks, so that was just a lot of time sitting. And I think that I got to, like, a breaking point of being burnt out and needed a break, and everyone I knew at that point had a mask and had plenty of them, so I was like, okay, I don't have to do this anymore.
Mm-hmm. So probably early, you know, through the summer of 20.
Yeah, I would say by July I probably wasn't making as many.
Can you, so this is a, there's no solid transition for this one. Okay. I apologize. No, you're fine. Can you define Team Kentucky for me?
Ooh, okay. I think Team Kentucky is going beyond yourself and going beyond what maybe you believe and doing what's right for everyone, like helping if it's not convenient, like whatever it is, like thinking beyond yourself to help the greater good of our state.
And how does the quilt and your work contribute to Team Kentucky?
I think the quilt as a whole was something to bring some sort of like positive energy or like positive viewpoint into the world. And so I think even if you just make someone smile for the day, that's like being part of Team Kentucky, because, you know, you can just live life, you know, with your head down or thinking about how bad everything is. But if you just even like give someone a smile, then that's, you know, making some sort of impact. So I think the quilt was just like a way of bringing more positivity into the state.
Did you have when you were putting this together, did you have that sort of conversation about it?
Yeah, like it was, we knew that it was supposed to be uplifting and just a gift. Like we saw all of us watched every day, and so we saw the chats, we saw everything that was said, and the good, the awful, the threats, anything in between. And we just wanted Governor Beshear to know, like, we're thinking of you. And in a way, it's like kind of like a warm hug, like the quilt is. And just like, we just wanted to make something that would bring joy, I guess. Sorry, I forgot the question.
No, that was great. So 2 years after this started, how are you feeling?
I feel hopeful. I just went to a music festival, and I know that things are not perfect and we still have to make sacrifices and be careful, but I'm feeling extremely hopeful. I think I also volunteered for the vaccine in Louisville. Like, it was, Luvax was huge. So I remember driving in and seeing lines of cars, and I, like, honestly, I just cried because I was just like, this is the beginning of hopefully the end of this phase in everyone's life. And it just gave me so much hope. And I'm feeling that again, like, we're getting back to normal. We can see friends and do things. And so I feel hopeful.
Will you tell me a little bit about volunteering with Luvax?
Yeah, so it was insane. I started in January, like, I think it was the second day or third day that it was open. And it was in the winter. And so we were all, I was outside and doing, like, screening, because you have to ask a ton of questions to see if they were eligible. And so you just get bundled up and help people fill out paperwork. At the very beginning, it was like, they hand wrote everything and we filed it. We had to check IDs. And by the end of it, they had, you know, where you could fill out all the paperwork online beforehand. And like, it just evolved. But I think they were just like, we have to get it now. We have to get these vaccines out as fast as possible. Yeah. But everyone was so helpful and welcoming. I think the hardest part was like having to tell people they're not eligible. Even though they really wanted it, that was probably the hardest part. But because at the beginning we only had so many.
Mm-hmm. And how long did you volunteer for?
I volunteered for a month and a half. I think I had to get 40 hours, I think, to get my own vaccine. Mm-hmm. But at that point, so many people were wanting to volunteer to get their vaccine that if I continued to volunteer, I was hindering other people from getting theirs early. And so I just stepped back from volunteering so more people could do it. But whenever they asked or like needed help, I would sign up.
And so you did that to get your, to get it through?
Yeah.
Okay. And where was this at?
At Broadbent in Louisville.
Great. Sorry.
No, you're fine.
1 p.m. rough.
No,
yeah. Is there any other, like, feeling or emotion or piece that you would use to describe the pandemic time and your work on the quilt, those sorts of things?
I feel, yes, working on mask in general was a time for me educating myself on a lot of things that I needed to educate myself on, even though I feel like I try to live my life in a more, like, progressive realm. I mean, honestly, like, my school didn't teach a lot of things, so I had to go back and relearn and, like, work. It was a work on myself process, but I also gave so much of myself a way that I think, in a sense, I, like, lost a piece of myself. And so, yeah, I think the pandemic, and it was just a learning. I think I just burned out because I couldn't just sit there. I couldn't just watch TV all day, or, like, a lot of people drank. Like, I couldn't do that. I had to, like, be helping in some sort of way. And so I think that which a lot of people, I feel like, are just kind of, like, burnt out. But that's why I'm hopeful, because we're starting to be able to, like, find happiness and things again.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Hopefully that was okay.